day. What a day.
Welcome back to Tell Me More with Matt and Dan, where usually I go to Matt with a... My name's Dan. And I go to Matt. Introduce yourself, Matt.
Hello, I'm Matt.
With a fact. And he has to decide whether or not it goes into the memory box or in the shitter. Usually, once a series, Matt does a fact for me. I have been a bit under the pump. And even though I don't have a job anymore, Matt still had to write an episode. I get two episodes this series.
Dan was not let go. He decided to leave and go to Asia.
Yeah.
Mid-life crisis.
And apparently I'm dying at 54.
We can only hope.
So with that, Matt is coming to me with a fact today.
Okay, Dan, are you ready?
Go on.
Oh my God.
What does lizard blood, dead mice, mud, and moldy bread have in common? They're all things used to cure diseases back in the day.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Matt, tell me more. I loved that.
Did you like
that,
it?
That made me so happy.
So if any of you are unfamiliar, that is the British television show Casualty, the theme tune that played right there. And it's all in the theme of strange cures for ailments back in the day. So, Dan, have you heard of many strange cures for ailments?
Well, I think I know the moldy bread one.
Okay.
I don't want to go too much into your fact, but was that when they invented, I can't remember which pain relief, but it was because he left bread out and then they found out he, what's it called? You'll tell me.
I don't know.
Oh, so that's not, what?
It's just a part of it. So it's just...
Okay.
This is just something funny that I read. So basically, they were used as topical ointments and dressings, and women were sometimes dosed with horse saliva as a cure for an impaired libido. Isn't that fun? Just a throwaway fact at the beginning.
Perfect. I love that. Moldy bread, penicillin.
Ah, yes. Oh, because it's... Oh, yes.
That's how they found out about penicillin, was from moldy bread.
Excellent. Was there any more, like, strange cures that you know about?
A couple more, but that's for next week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cheeky. Okay, so I've done this one because I have a favourite word. This word...
Whimsical.
No, trepanning. It's my favourite word of all time. I do love whimsical, but trepanning is just hilarious. And so
I've heard you say that recently.
Yes. I went on this tangent of trying to think about what sort of facts I would like to tell you. I was going to tell Dan the full story of Star Wars disguised as a Scandinavian royalist story. And I think I still could.
You still could.
So we're going to go through a few of these facts and then we'll discuss just Perfect. Afterwards about them all. Have you heard of bloodletting?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So many a year ago, physicians and doctors used bloodletting to get rid of...
Leeches?
Basically, yeah.
So, like, do you know why? I don't know if I'm going to dox myself and make people be able to recover my email address. My mother's maiden name is Leech because she comes from a family of doctors who use leeches.
Wow. And she's a thieving bastard.
Luckily, it's not leech how you spell leech. So, yeah, so you can't get my email address right now.
So for thousands of years, medical practitioners clung to the belief that sickness was merely the result of a little bad blood.
I'm running out bad blood.
Bloodletting probably began with the ancient Sumerians and Egyptians. Sumerians being in Mesopotamia, the earliest known civilization.
We love a bit of Mesopotamia on this podcast. Yeah, I come across it a lot.
So messy.
So bloody messy.
But it didn't become common practice until the time of classical Greece and Rome. Influential physicians like Hippocrates and Galen maintained that the human body was filled with four basic substances, or humours: yellow bile, black bile, phlegm, and blood. So with these four humours or substances, they needed to be kept in balance to maintain proper health. With this in mind, patients with a fever or,
fever!
or other ailments were often diagnosed with an overabundance of blood. To restore bodily harmony, their doctor would simply cut open a vein and drain some of their vital fluids into a receptacle. In some cases, Denise Leach was often used to suck the blood directly from the skin.
For my mum listening, don't listen. It wasn't you.
Some of these have been used in comical television series across the way. One of my favourite is Blackadder Season 2, in which Blackadder goes to see a physician and says that he's fallen in love with a man. And so the physician says, nothing a good leech on the todge won't help. It's so good. It's so funny. They just use leeches for everything. While it could easily result in accidental death from blood loss, phlebotomy endured as a common medical practice well into the 19th century. Medieval doctors prescribed blood draining as a treatment for everything from a sore throat to the plague, and some barbers listed it as a service along with haircuts and shaves.
So that's why out the front of barbershops you've got the red spiral and the blue spiral and I believe the white spiral.
Colgate.
It's because we like blue stripes, we like white, we like the red stripes, that's all right. As you can see, Aquafresh is all three. I use Aquafresh right now. The red means blood from phlebotomy. The white is shaving cream, and the blue is the
liquid that you put the scissors in.
Yes.
Gorgeous. Oh, the practice finally fell out of Vogue,
the magazine. It was one of those like free samples. They opened the book and it fell out.
It's just a bunch of leeches in Vogue.
Bloody ears, fashion industry these days. That's a commentary.
After new research showed that it might be doing more harm than good. But leeching and controlled bloodletting are still used today as treatments for certain rare illnesses.
And what taking money off people.
Yeah, leeching bastards. So what do you think of bloodletting, Dan?
It's interesting. I don't know. I think historical science is so interesting of like how people understood things before they, like just how they just had two ends of like a dot, but they didn't have the line that connected them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
They just didn't know how A went to B, so they just made stuff up. Mm. It was like how like dinosaurs and paleontology, how people were just like, yeah, there were lizards. And yes. That's why people think, but they weren't, they were birds.
Should we go into the next one?
Of course, because I'm on a rant now.
Mercury.
Oh.
Mercury is notorious for its toxic properties, but it was once used as a common elixir and topical medicine. The ancient Persians and Greeks considered it a useful ointment, and 2nd century Chinese alchemists prized liquid mercury, or quicksilver, and red mercury sulfide for their supposed ability to increase lifespan and vitality. Some healers even promised that by consuming noxious brews containing poisonous mercury, sulfur, and arsenic, their patients would gain eternal life and the ability to walk on water.
Well, depending on the religion you follow, that's probably right.
Because you'll be dead.
Yes.
One of the most famous casualties of this diet was the Chinese emperor Qin Shi Huang, who supposedly died after ingesting mercury pills designed to make him immortal. From the Renaissance until the early 20th century, mercury was also used as a popular medicine for sexually transmitted diseases, like syphilis. While some accounts claim the heavy metal treatment was successful in fighting off the infection, patients often died
known as fucking squares.
You're fucking losers.
I love rock and roll. Put a bit of mercury in my ear.
But the patients died from liver and kidney damage caused by mercury poisoning. And so a few episodes ago, Mad as a Hatter, the mercury used in
yes.
Yeah, exactly. So that was another one on there.
Oh, lovely.
It's gorgeous.
Do you know why we call mercury mercury?
Planet.
Yep.
And that was Mercury's a god in Rome.
I think so, yeah.
No, it is.
Yeah, you believe what you want to believe. I'll keep my opinions to myself. This is your episode. Make up what you want.
All right, we're going on to my favorite word now. This goes into
trapezium,
trepanation, yep. Or trepanning. Humanity's oldest form of surgery is also one of its most gruesome. As far back as 7,000 years ago, civilizations around the world engaged in trepanation, the practice of boring holes in the skull as a means of curing illnesses. Researchers can only speculate on how or why this grisly form of brain surgery first developed. A common theory holds that it may have been some form of tribal ritual or even a method for releasing evil spirits believed to possess the sick and mentally ill.
Like a sacrifice.
Kind of, but when those Stone Age folk, they got a headache, they believed that spirits were in their brains trying to get out. So they got those different stones, learned this from horrible histories, they got different stones, sharp stone, blunt stone, and they basically hammered a sharp stone into the head so that a spirit could leave the hole in their head and make them better again. But I don't think it did.
Well, it certainly fixed them by killing them.
Still, others argue that it was a more conventional surgery used to treat epilepsy, headaches, abscesses, and blood clots. Trepan skulls found in Peru hint that it was also a common emergency treatment for cleaning out bone fragments left behind by skull fractures. And evidence shows that many of the patients survived the surgery. No, but that's why I love trepanation. I think it's just such a strange word and a strange thing to actually happen.
Yeah.
There is another word also that you use, like to throw someone out of a window. Do you remember that word?
Just me.
Yeah, you use.
Yeah. What do I use to throw someone out of a window? Chuck.
Defenestration.
It's true. I do use that window.
Yeah.
I do use that word to throw people out of a window.
To defenestrate someone.
I use the word itself. I just lob a dictionary at their head. On the D yet, section.
Trepanation and defenestration are two great words. Do you know what the most beautiful word in the world is?
Beautiful.
Celador. I think we spoke about this last.
No, we didn't.
Did we not?
No.
Phonetically, people have said that it's the most beautiful word in the world. But yeah, that is trepanation. What do you think?
I loved that.
Good. Here we go into the cures via cannibalism. Bam, bam, bam!
Ooh.
Suffering from persistent headaches. Muscle cramps. Or stomach ulcers.
I'm kidding.
Once upon a time, your local physician may have prescribed an elixir containing human flesh, blood, or bone. So-called corpse medicine.
Is that in China?
Let's find out.
Okay.
This was a disturbingly common practice for
in China
for hundreds of years. The Romans believed that the blood of fallen gladiators could cure epilepsy.
Why not winners?
What?
Why not winners?
There's no winners in war, Dan.
And that's something you can take home. Tell your kids.
And 12th century apothecaries were known for keeping stock of mummy powder. A macabre extract made from ground up mummies looted from Egypt.
Ooh.
So you ground up a mummy.
In Roman times.
Yeah.
They were fresh.
12th century, hon.
Oh, because actually, it's mental how long Egypt was going on for. I'm in ancient Egypt.
They were just going on.
Did you know we
carrying
live,
on?
Cleopatra lives more to our time, closer to our time, than building the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Meanwhile, in 17th century England, King Charles II was known for enjoying a draught of King's Drops. What do you think that is?
King's Drops. Well, it was Charlie II. He was a bit of a nutcase, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think it was his piss.
Okay. It was a restorative brew made from crumbled human skull and alcohol. Crumbled. Doesn't sound nice, does it?
If it was ground up, I think I'd like it a bit better. Crumbled, that'd be ever so crunchy.
Not nice, is it?
Do you think he did it like a margarita when you'd put the salt on the rim?
Scully rim. These cannibalistic medicines were thought to have magical properties. By consuming the remains of a deceased person, the patient also ingested part of their spirit, leading to increased vitality and well-being.
Any particular person's skull?
I think someone of note, probably.
Yeah.
I was playing Assassin's Creed Syndicate recently, and a tribe in Africa believed that if you eat the brain of a chieftain, then you will gain some of their knowledge and intellect.
I read about that with the Einstein episode, actually. I don't think I've said it. No, I didn't say it, but no, I read about it.
Yes, it's very interesting. The type of cure prescribed usually corresponded to the type of ailment. Skull was used for migraines and human fat for muscle aches. But getting fresh stock could be a gruesome process. In some cases, the sickly would even attend executions in the hope of getting a cheap cup of the freshly killed person's blood.
Over here, just in Nanny Miggins's pie glass.
Okay, Dan, this is probably my favourite.
You said that about your word.
Yeah, I know, I love my favourite word, but this is my favourite...
Fact.
...cure.
Ah.
It's so silly.
Go on, then.
Ancient Greek doctors believed that a woman's womb was a separate creature with a mind of its own.
Go on, then.
According to the writings of Plato and Hippocrates, when a woman celibate for an extended time, her uterus, described as a living animal, eager to bear children, could dislodge and glide freely about her body, causing suffocation, seizures, and hysteria.
That's pretty much what they told us in sex ed.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember a teacher telling us, don't go near a girl, it'll bite.
And that's a promise.
It's got teeth, kids, it's got teeth. This curious diagnosis endured in some form into the time of the Romans and Byzantines, well after doctors had learned that the womb was held in place by ligaments. Now, this is a direct quote. To prevent their wombs from going walkabout. Ancient women were counseled to marry young and bear as many children as possible. For a womb that had already broken free, doctors prescribed therapeutic baths, infusions, and physical massages to try and force it back into position. They might even fumigate the patient's head with sulfur and pitch while simultaneously rubbing pleasant-smelling lotions between her thighs. The logic being that the womb would flee from the bad smells and move back into its rightful place. So that's the wandering womb, which is just incredible.
Wandering womb.
Would you like to hear a Sigmund Freud fact?
You know I do.
So when hysteria was discovered, you may have seen the...
Discovered? Hasn't it been around for ages?
But yeah, like when a cure... Like, okay, I'm doing a cure in quotations because hysteria is a very
I like the idea that hysteria just came out of nowhere one day. Like it was a random Thursday and the first ever case of hysteria was from like 1862. Before that, everyone was just getting on with their lives. And then one day, just...
This poor woman.
Oh my God. What's wrong with her?
See, it's
a wandering womb again.
Women were told that they have hysteria if they were sad, if they were very horny.
If they had any sort of mental ailment, really.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad what you and me specifically, kept saying what was hysterical.
Hysteria symptoms include a wide range of physical and mental issues, including blindness, hearing loss, seizures, amnesia, uncontrolled bodily movements, or complete loss of movement. Heart palpitations, emotional outbursts, paralysis, fainting, chronic pain, loss of sensation, hallucinations, and histrionic behaviour. A lot of these were...
Thank you, Matt, for saying that a symptom of hysteria is hysteric behaviour.
Histrionic.
Histrionic behaviour.
Don't you look silly?
Yeah, I look well done.
And so, Freud basically said that women were the majority of people that suffered from this ailment. And then this is where everything gets better. This hypothesis and discovery created the American Vibrator Company. One cure of hysteria was a machine in which women would insert certain things into their body and perform a self-massage, thus creating the dildo and vibrator.
Oh my God.
We love hysteria for giving us sex positive things. Here is something from Cosmopolitan magazine about self-massage machines. There's nothing so delightful and so invigorating as a good, thorough massage.
Why is Donald Trump saying this?
There's nothing so delightful and so invigorating. There is only one way to get a good, thorough massage.
through the use of the American vibrator. That's a big statement. Let us prove it. We will send you a vibrator absolutely free for 15 days trial. If it is not all we say, you can return it at our expense. Ugh. Isn't that fair? Write today and ask for our booklet, number 151, and our plan. And so that was one way of curing hysteria. Isn't that so fun?
I'm just trying to think. Do you know where the word dildo came from?
So for vibrators,
yeah,
very different. But the first dildo was discovered in a German cave. It was thought to have been used by people during the Ice Age, 28,000 years ago. Since then, dildos reappeared consistently in cultures and societies across the world, and it's been a source of anxiety, pleasure, controversy throughout.
Like this podcast. Yeah.
Source of anxiety, pleasure, and controversy. My God, the APC. So, Dan, are you glad? I told you what.
I hate that. No. I hate it.
That's a button for not liking, right?
No, I'm kidding. I hate that I did like it because I was going in with you saying, I don't think you'd like it. And also you put my fact in the shitter last week. But no, I love mad history. I really do love finding out about weird things done in history.
Mm.
And if you like that at home as well, tell us more about that, because I'd like to do more episodes like that. If you've got any... So yeah, no, sorry, Matt. Really loved that episode.
Thank you.
Very good job.
What was your favourite one?
I did initially like the leeches the most.
Yeah.
But...
Because you, Mum.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm like a Nepo baby for leeches.
If none of you have actually seen Dan in person, he is just a massive leech. He's just writhing around on the floor, and I just give him a microphone.
But I think I liked the last one because the way doctors acted, like then, it's just mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they were just like...
With hysteria.
Yeah, just like, oh. But the fact that they made a vibrator, like a long tube that vibrated and then went, nope, can't use that, women.
It's supposed to be for men.
It's for us boys.
And then women
us
found
boys
a way.
To help our knees and our balls. And then... And then one shoved at the rump of the grundle and fell better. So they found out, well then, that stops hysteria, which isn't a thing. It wasn't a thing. Like, a lot of different things could have caused it. But then they just went, shut up, have a wank. God. Mad.
And so, Dan, just so you know, that was all false. And it was actually the story of the Lord of the Rings.
If you've got a fact at home... send it through to the podcast at tellmemore.pod.au.
That's tellmemore.pod.au.
Thank you so much for listening in to Matt's Facts today.
I've been Matt.
I've been Dan.
And together, this has been Tell Me More.
With Matt.
And Dan. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you later.